Let us look to the Lord for just a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the infinite love that has been bestowed upon mankind and upon each of us personally who have put our trust in the Lord. We trust that we might walk closer to Him, and that the Word that He has given to us is our textbook, that we would adhere to it, not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to do what our Lord would ask us to do. We think of those that have been mentioned before that are laid aside with illness, Father. We pray of thy mind and will that they might soon be raised up. All we ask is thou would guide and direct throughout the remainder of this little meeting. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. We'll just read through. I went too many chapters. Through 16 for now. Maybe I'll be run out of here before that. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, very likely this belongs to the foregoing chapter, but it can be adhered to here or applied to here. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaved. And if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. And if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it seemly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame for him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, first of all, I want to make a statement that this does not imply that the man is superior to the woman. The order and the place that God has set them. We know that as far as praying, etc., meetings, we always find it's the man. But we do that because it's the Word of God. There are many places that say it doesn't make any difference. Then why did God waste his time putting it in Scripture? I think the text that I want is 2 Timothy, is it? 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Three, that's not it. It must be 2 Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what I want. Yeah. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now we know the perfect means there to be mature in the things of God. Now, if this was the case, why did God bother putting this portion in Scripture? It doesn't say some of the Scripture, it's all of it. And then some would say, well, that was for a time in a bygone time, rather. Well, you know how that would have been worded? This is to take place until such and such a time. It doesn't say that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's for us. It's for our well-being. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered as I delivered them to you. But I would have you not to be ignorant. The head of every man is Christ, who was made first. Man was made first. God said, let us make man in our image. Men were made in the image of God. And God said in another place, it is not good for man to be alone. And he took the woman from his side. Not from his foot, that he might trample over her. Not from his head, that she might try to lord it over him, or vice versa. But from his side, that he might love her. We find in another place we're admonished to do what? Love our wives. You know one thing it doesn't say? It doesn't say the wife has to love her husband. But she used to reverence him or show respect to him. Some of us might not be worth much respect. Nonetheless, that's what God says. And if we would do these things, and if we would adhere to what God says, we find that things would be far better for us. We find that we would have a better attitude one to the other, to the things of God. Got a little note down here. Every society, this is Bill McDonald said this in his writing, every society has two pillars to be successful, or every successful society. Authority and subjugation. There has to be those at the top, and there has to be those that willingly serve. If you're in the military, you willingly volunteer. There was a day that they drafted you. It may come a time that they'll be drafting again, by the way, young fella. But you guys, that's what I'm afraid of. I volunteered. Of course, there was a draft then, too. But you volunteered to serve those that were over you. The Lord God is over us. When it comes to responsibility, between a husband and wife, who's responsible? I should be able to quote the verse, but I can't think of it offhand. The wife can make all the vows she wants to make. She's right, well and good. If she's wrong, it's the husband's part to stop it. Of course, it's her part to obey. But if he lets her go on with something wrong, he's going to be held accountable. And if she were doing something right, and made a vow to do something right, and he stopped it, he's still going to be held accountable. So, older guys, not older than me, but older guys and their wives, of course, the day is coming for the younger guys. You've got a great deal of responsibility. That means would be advisable for them to get into the Word of God at an early age. And of course, the wife is to be what? Helpmate. Help her husband. And then again, it's advisable for her to be in the book so that she knows how to help him. Or if the wife was better or more knowledgeable in the Word of God, she could take the scriptures and show him and help him. That's not lording it over him. My wife can remember a dear saint by the name of Mrs. Thomas, wasn't it? Went to the Walnut Grove Baptist, and the pastors would go to her for help, but she wasn't lording it over. She could take scripture and show them things that they didn't know. And I happened to go there, or we went there, it was a homecoming, something like that. And I was in the men's Sunday school class. And lo and behold, here's Mrs. Thomas up there as the teacher. Before she started teaching, she said, "I have no business here." She said, "I want you men to pick out one from amongst yourselves to be your teacher." She said, "It's not my place to teach men. Their place to teach women and children." Now that wasn't saying that she couldn't help them, but point things out to them and give them advice. But she wasn't to lord it over them. With this dear saint, she told the class, "This is the first, and this is the last time I will teach this class." That's a godly woman. That was a woman that knew her scripture. And she knew the order that God made. Now, up in our government, if everybody did as they pleased, can you imagine what kind of a mess we would have? We've got a big enough mess as it is. But then part of the problem, very possibly, is that some of them are trying to take or usurp the places of other persons above them, or even working parallel to them. We, as the children of God, are to obey God. The man is directly responsible to God, and of course the woman is too, but her head is who? The man. I remember Robbie wasn't very old at the time, and Mrs. Reams, well, both Reams women had beautiful hair, white hair. And some of the other ladies, when you walked in, that was the first thing you saw. That's the word little thing on top of their head, see? When I was a young fellow in Niagara Falls, there were many Catholics there, Roman Catholics. And I'd be going down Falls Street, and there were quite a few Catholic churches there, and they'd all be going to Mass. You know, they had their heads covered. They didn't have a little thing on top. Covered all the way around, over their shoulders and all. And they couldn't tell you why they do it. They didn't know why they were doing it. It's just brought on down as tradition, but they were doing what was right. Woman's hair, that's one of the first things that catches your eye when you see a woman, if she's got pretty hair. That's one of the first things God has covered. The idea is that she is to be, or her head is to be man. The man's head is God. You know, you might question some of these things. I don't know who wrote this statement, but it's very good. Some things are commanded because they're right. Other things are right because they are commanded. It doesn't make any difference. Right, wrong's wrong. God commanded it. God was the one that said that this is the way it was to go. I wish I could remember half of what Bill said. A lot easier trying to remember some of the things he said than some of the others. His word alone is to guide, and his commands are to be obeyed. Now, I don't know who the writer of that was. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians. Keep your finger here. 1 Corinthians 14. Verses 36, 37. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? The man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you by the commandments of God. Everything that Paul writes are the commandments of God. He wrote by inspiration. He wrote as God led him. We can go back to the Old Testament. We can look at Daniel. In all of the prophecies of Daniel, later Daniel asked God, what do they mean? He didn't understand what they meant, because they were coming down 2 times. And then God explained them to him. And then he come to a certain point, and that was it. The rest of it wouldn't be acknowledged or told to them until the key was given. I think just about everybody here knows what the key is, or at least suspects what the key was. The key was Calvary. Calvary took place, all the rest of it fell in place. Everything is wrapped around our dear Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy 2:12. Now we can go up back a little bit here. Let's start with the first verse. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. For this I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, in godly fear, in sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. It's the inner woman that shows the beauty, not the outward. The outward is just a shell. But we find here it says for the women to be in modest apparel. Doesn't say anything about the men being in modest apparel. Got any idea? You know, some of the mothers don't know. That's ridiculous. For a young man to see something or to hear it or even think it can excite him. Now, on the whole, women aren't like that. There are exceptions to every rule. But on the whole, it takes more than that. Well, with a woman, it's more, I don't know how you would say it, psychological. The man is physical. When you come right down to it, both of them should dress modestly. But God mentions the women because of the effect it has on the man. And we have mothers. Let the girls run around half naked. And then they run around screaming because some young man accosted them. I think most of us have heard, or I made mention, I don't know if everybody here was there at the time, that maybe someone even born Some of this stuff was first taking place in Richmond. Prior to that time, a man didn't ride downtown without a shirt on. And he didn't drive a car without shoes on. One thing, you had to clutch everything. The braking was a lot harder. And the women, when they went downtown, were dressed up. But it seems that this young woman thought that she could do as she pleased. And she wore a shorty shorts. I guess that's what they call them. And down on Broad Street, this sailor, he was drunk. He accosted her. And finally she said, if you don't stop, I'll call the policeman. Well, you know he didn't stop. He called the policeman. He went to court. And the judge asked the young woman, were you dressed like this when you were accosted? No, she was all dressed up now. She said, no. The judge says that they put the trial off to such and such a date. When you come back, you dress the way you were when this took place. And when she came back to court, and the judge saw the way she was dressed, he said, case dismissed. Young lady, you want to be treated as a lady, then you dress like a lady. Of course, if you were to do it today, they'd probably throw the judge off the bench. That's just how ridiculous our whole system has gotten. But that doesn't change it for the child of God. Let us read the rest of it. Well, let's read that verse again, verse 9. In like manner, also the woman adorned themselves in modest apparel, with godly fear and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, that a woman learn in silence with all subjection, that I permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved with childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness and sobriety. There's something running through my mind there, and I lost it. That's how quick I lose it anymore. This is not funny. Don't even laugh. I was trying to see if I could get it back, what I was trying to just pass through my mind. It doesn't make any difference. But God says, we believe, and we do. All of the problems we find out there, a better part of it is because of the rejection to what God says. All right? Every woman that prayeth and prophesieth, this is back in 1 Corinthians, with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. That is even all one as if she were shaved. Well, let's go back in our minds a minute. If the man puts his hat on, now the Jews do it. That's the way they do it. But that's the old economy. If a man puts his hat on when he prays in public, he dishonored God. Like manner, when the woman doesn't have one on, she dishonors her head, the man. But that goes all the way back to God again. Here in this verse, it's speaking to us about the woman, if she has her head, if she's uncovered, then she should be shaved. Let's go in verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, now if down in verse 14, is it? Long hair is the glory of the woman, and it is given her for a covering, but that's a natural covering. Now, if the hair, now this is what some of their reasoning is, my hair is my covering, because what this verse says. Now, let's go back to verse 6. If the hair is her covering, If the woman be not covered, then she's got no hair. I know they're going out in public if that's the case. She's got no hair, and then it tells her to be shorn or shaven. How are you going to shave somebody that has no hair? See how ridiculous the reasoning is? So it's speaking about something other than your hair. It's something placed on top of the hair. If that's not there, then they should be shaved. But you see, people will find a reason for anything they want, and when you stop and think it out, how ridiculous the reasoning is. If the woman be not covered, if she has no hair, let her also be shorn. How ridiculous. But if she be shorn, but if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. But she couldn't have been if she already had no hair. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Man came first, but then later on through childbearing, through the woman, the men and women come into being. So they should be a unity. Man and wife are to be what? To work as a team. Years ago, I don't know if that's the case now, but most families, if a bill came to the door, no matter who approved the bill, you know who it was addressed to? The man of the house. Things are so mixed up now, it's probably be anybody in the house will get the bill, as long as you're 18 and up. And that, too, is for the convenience of the people that sell automobiles. I was 21, not quite 21, I guess I was 19 when I bought my first car. No, I wasn't. I was just around 18. I put so much money down on the car. And when my dad saw it, he said, no. Take the money back and get your, or take it back and get your money back. Well, the man wouldn't give me the money back. But I wasn't 21. And when my father went there, the money came back. Now, if he's 18, it doesn't matter what the father does. How convenient. Everything's just going wacky in our day and age. But we're all to work as a team. Even a family should work as a team. Father and the mother are the head. Father the primary head. Verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourself, is it seemly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that? Now just how that this comes about, they don't really know. If a man have long hair, it is a shame for him. But if a woman have long hair, it is glory. It is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. That's the natural covering. One day, I guess the boys were just little guys, and that, well, we were coming down Carlisle Avenue here, and it looked like two young women walking down the street, here down to their waist. I mean, it was beautiful hair. We got past, and one was a boy and one was a girl. You know what my wife said? If she was dating a young man, she'd at least like him to look like a man. We, as a nation and world, have been trying to womanize the men for the last 30 or 40 years, maybe longer. You don't find the same toughness in the men that there used to be. That doesn't mean that man's tough. He's got to be mean. You can be tough in all kinds of things without being mean. And it doesn't matter what the situation, you can handle it or you can hold your own through it. What did this say a little earlier about the long hair? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. In another place, it says that God hates femininity in man. If that's the case, then he also hates masculinity in the woman. Don't worry, Walter, I think David probably had hair down that far, I don't know. He didn't have barbers back then like he's got today. But there's definitely a difference between the women's hair and the men's hair. But I know in our family at home, when my hair got to my ears, it had to come off. My wife's trying to warn me what I should say and shouldn't say. Now I think she's a little out of line there. All right. Down to verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is the glory for her hair is given for her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And many churches try to use this as an excuse. Now I've got what the Amplified has to say about it. If anyone is disposed to be argumentative or contentious about this, we hold to and recognize no other custom in worship than this. It is already ordered. Nor do the churches, that's assemblies, of God generally. As far as he knew, all of the assemblies, and by the way, they weren't called churches in that day and time. They were assemblies of God's people. The word church came into being as a result of Rome. The Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox. They were one at one time. Where it says the church at Corinth or the church at Philippi, the original says the assembly at those places. The assembly are called out ones. God is calling a people out from the world. There are too many people who think that we're going to win the world for God. We're not going to. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We are a called out people. And as the days go by, you're going to find that God's people are going to be abused more and more, whether it's mental or what. You will be abused. Because we're different. And that is a sign of God's people. We are different than the world. We're not doing that to be a problem. We're doing it because God says that's the way we're to do it. All right, let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonderful love. We'll never be able to thank you enough for what our blessed Lord went through. We find as he drew closer and closer to Calvary, there in the garden, he literally sweat drops of blood. As he contemplated what was facing him, one thing was the physical suffering, that would be bad enough. As God the Son, God, he could not so much as look upon iniquity. In a short few hours, he was going to have the sin of the world placed upon his shoulders. Fellowship with the Father that had never been broken was about to be broken. The amazing thing of all of this is God knew this before he even created this world. He knew exactly what Adam would do. He knew what creation would do. knew he would cut it down to only 8 people at the flood. And it would all start all over again. Man trying to turn his back on God. Trying to, in this day and time, deny the existence of God. It all comes down to the fact that he doesn't want to be responsible to anyone. The sad truth is that the day is coming that each one of us will stand before God. For those of us that are saved, not as to our sin, but as to what we have done for our Lord. And that in turn would point out as to how many or what crowns we receive, ultimately to be cast at His feet. For the lost that stand before the great white throne, the time of eternal judgment, the official sentencing of eternal death. The Father make each of us more concerned about our loved ones that may be outside of the household of faith, concerned about friends who are not saved, and even those that are merely acquaintances. Who knows, we might never run into them again. Could we possibly give them a tract, speak a word to them, and then water it with prayer? Well, Father, we ask that Thou would be with all of us, take us all to our several homes in safety. We think of the 2 young ones that will be returning on Tuesday, keep them safe. We think of God's people in every place. We ask for their safety and care. These things we ask in His name for His sake. Amen.